It's another good time that we are together tonight. I appreciate all of you. Thank you so very much for your gracious hospitality. Thank you, Brother Jim and Pat. You're such a wonderful family. You've taken good care of me. And I appreciate all of you as a church. I want to give a testimony of how I came to know the Lord. I was born and raised in a Seventh-day Adventist family. We used to go to church, sing in the choir, did everything that I was told to do. I was a Christian, so I thought. Until somewhere down the line, I started taking alcohol and doing drugs. That time, I was a school teacher. And because of my alcohol problem, I lost my job. Now I came home with nothing to do. There was no way I could feed my family. And my wife, Benta, told me, Ezra, I cannot live with you anymore. Because I cannot live under the same roof with a stupid alcoholic, a father who cannot provide for his family. She collected the children and left. Desperate, confused, and having nothing to do. One day in the evening, having taken one too many, I sat outside my house. And my next option was to drink poison and die. I slept that night. Then the following day, I went to see a friend. And as I was sitting down, I saw a magazine under the table. I can't remember the title of that magazine, but the magazine was written by Parker C. Thomas. And I read somewhere, the only line that I can still remember is that Jesus can save you. I picked that magazine, went home, because I didn't know there was somebody who could deliver me from the situation I was in. I used to know a missionary, a Baptist missionary in our area. I went with that magazine to him and I told him, could you explain to me what is meant by this passage? He told me, Ezra, you're lucky. God loves you. Ezra, Jesus can save you. Ezra, your miseries can go. If you will today surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I did exactly that. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life and save me. That very moment, happiness came into my life. But I told the missionary, brother, My wife and children left a few weeks ago. What can I do? He told me, Ezra, now that you have received the Lord, He will turn around everything in your life, including your family. The missionary and me prayed for me, and after 1 month, my wife and children came back. And Benta gave her life to the Lord, and she was saved. One thing that I want to remember that I will never forget is one day I was drunk and trying to find my way home. And I missed my steps and fell into a ditch and passed out. That evening, the police were doing rounds in the little town where I'd gone to drink. And down there, they saw somebody. And they thought I was dead. They lifted me, tossed me into their truck, and took me to a morgue. And left me there. Somewhere in the middle of the night, I think maybe past night, I woke up and found myself in very unfamiliar ground. So when I turned around, I saw bodies. I didn't know what they were doing there. Then I looked in front of me. Somebody was standing there by the door. I think he was the mortuary attendant. I saw him, and it was the only thing alive in the room. So I ran to him. And he saw me running to him, and he ran out shouting. Shouting that somebody has come back to life. Folks, that moment, I made up my mind to quit alcohol. But you know what? It was not possible because I was under bondage. I was in prison. He took the hand of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to take away my chains and set me free. Kenya is a free country. You can preach the word of God all you want. We preach in prison. We preach in moving buses. We preach at night. But we do not know how long this window will remain open. So it is grace against time. By the way, I made up my mind to preach the word of God as long as you breathe. And I know it took somebody to pray for me to become a Christian. Somebody must have prayed for me to become who I am today. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for remaining on your knees so that one person who has not known the Lord can be saved. We have one church in prison. During COVID, the situation became hopeless. In the area where I live, there are 5 prisons. Please pray for us so that we can continue to do the work in prison. We have another church in the island of Lake Victoria. I never knew that in Kenya there are some people who have never heard the name Jesus. But it's a little island in the middle of the lake. It is the size of a mile and a half length and another 2 miles width. About 500 people live there. The only thing they do is fish. They fish and sin. There's no school. There's no church. There's nothing going on there except they fish and they sin. There's drugs and alcohol and everything. Name everything that you want to name. It happens there. So when we heard about that, we said, okay, let us make a daring attempt to go find out if what people say is true. That in Kenya today, there are people who have never heard the name Jesus. So we went there. And for 4 days, we preached the word of God. No clean water to drink. We never had a generator. So our phones went dead. So we were cut off with the rest of the world. But after 4 good days, the 5th day, the Lord saved 17 people. And they told us we've never heard the name Jesus before, unbelievable as it is. And in Lake Victoria, there are more islands like that, about 5 of them still remaining to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need your prayers like never before. Because the gospel still works and Jesus still saves. Thank you so much. Because of time, I want to stop there. We are so happy that we have people out there that pray for us. Because we are one people in multiple locations. Thank you for your love. God bless you.
We will pray for you. Let's pray for Ezra and the ministry. Lord God, we pray for Ezra. We pray for the ministry in Kenya. We pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit would come down upon them, Lord God. That you would help your witnesses wherever they're at, Lord. You'd help your evangelists. Help your missionaries, Lord God. Help your witnesses wherever they are, Lord God. We live in a dark time, deep darkness to peoples, Lord God. We live in a midnight hour. We live in a time where people need to hear the word of God. They're thirsting for the word. They don't know the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would make everything available to Ezra and the ministry in Kenya. You continue, Lord, to just fill them full of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and your guidance and your direction, Lord, and that all the resources would be made available to them. We ask all this in Christ's name, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be here with you all. Stephanie's not feeling well, so keep her in your prayers. She's feeling a little bit better. Dorsey and Chris's soups helped out a lot there, that homemade vegetable soup, so thank you for that. I just feel like the Lord wants me to give a word of encouragement here just for a moment. If you'll turn with me in the Gospel of Luke. We need encouragement, don't we? Luke chapter 20. Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple. This is after his triumphal entry on the donkey, and every day until he was arrested in Gethsemane, he spent time in the temple teaching. He taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. That the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things, or who is he who gave you this authority?" I mean, he came in on a donkey. All the people were worshiping him as as the Messiah. And then he went in and cleansed the temple, and he received the praises of the people. And they were like, who gave you this authority? And notice how Jesus responded to this question. But he answered and said to them, I will also ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Jesus was fond of doing that. He would answer a question with a question. How wise is our Savior? And they reasoned among themselves and saying, they must have just broke away for a moment and huddled up together, because they got together and started talking like, how are we going to answer this question he just asked us, saying, if we say from heaven, he's going to say, why didn't you believe in him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So they didn't really know how to answer Jesus, so they answered that they didn't know where it was from. They just said, we don't know. And so Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you then by what authority I do these things. So Jesus was saying to them, look, God has given you the great sign that you need to know that I am the Messiah. He prepared the way of the Lord. He proclaimed that the Messiah was coming, and you should have listened to him. You should have believed him. Let's look at the baptism of John. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 3. Here we find the baptism of John. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember, John was filled full of the Holy Spirit. I just love that song you sang, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Fill this place, fill the atmosphere. Man, I was into that. And that's what we're looking for, isn't it? The fullness of God, the Holy Spirit, in this place. And John was a man who was filled full of God, the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit from birth, and he began to preach with great power and great authority, even though he's dressed a little funny and he ate some things that others wouldn't eat. It didn't matter. He was outside of the box. He was outside of Jerusalem. He was away from the temple and the priests, even though he was a son of a priest, and he had every right to speak. At the age of 30, there he was. He went forth because God called him forth to preach. And he had a simple message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. Word went everywhere that there is a prophet. After 400 years, after Malachi, God has sent someone to speak to us, and they all wanted to hear, who is this man? What does he have to say to us? Here was a voice. And what was the voice saying to the people? Get ready, the Messiah is coming. Prepare yourself. The Messiah is coming. And he was preparing the way of the Lord. And how did they prepare? They were told to repent. If you're in a sin, you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you, and he will, won't he? If you repent and ask him to forgive up to 70 times 7, he will forgive. He will wash. He will cleanse. He will renew relationship. He was saying to them, you need to repent. You need to change your mind. How you think about the coming of the Lord, that is sometime far off. It's here. It's now. God has sent me here to tell you. I am a voice crying in the wilderness, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. He's coming. He was 6 months older than Jesus, and so he was preaching there in the wilderness, and everybody went down to hear this prophet, including the religious leaders. They were baptized by him in the Jordan, and they were confessing their sins. Verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers. Well, that wasn't very nice, was it? You bunch of snakes. You know, what are you doing here? Who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? What a heavy-duty statement that was. I mean, this is part of what he was talking about. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? This was part of the message. It wasn't only, hey, Jesus is coming. It was, you need to repent, because if you don't repent, there is a wrath that's going to come down upon the nation and upon Jerusalem. That was part of the message of the voice crying in the wilderness. Who warned you to flee? And where is there to flee? There's only one place to flee, and that's to the refuge. The Lord is my refuge. There's nowhere to go in this world. You have to go to Jesus. You have to go to him who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. You have to go to our faithful and merciful high priest. And then he goes on. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Don't think because you've gone to church all your life that somehow you're going to get in. Don't think that because your name's written in the genealogical records that you're going to get in. Don't think because you're a Jew that you're going to get in. God is able to raise up children from anywhere he wants to raise them up. And then he tells them again, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Do you see how he was giving a message that judgment is coming to Israel? It's coming to Jerusalem. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Here he's pointing to Jesus, isn't he? That's what John was called to do. That's what the voice does. John was a messenger in this midnight hour. He was a midnight hour. It was midnight in Jerusalem. It was midnight in Israel. And God, who will do nothing, surely the Lord will do nothing except he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Amos 3:7. Revealed to John, judgment is coming upon this nation, and I want you to tell them. They're not going to listen. They don't want to hear a message that judgment is coming. They don't want to hear that my wrath is going to be poured out upon this people. But John, I've called you. This is your calling. I want you to go out there and warn them. So he goes on here and tells them about Jesus. And again, he mentions in verse 12 another judgment word. He says, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So here he is, he's warning them again that judgment is coming. God's wrath is coming. In the meantime, Jesus was coming. Before that wrath, before that destruction, they would get to decide what they would do with Jesus. And so that's the baptism of John. But if we go over here to John 1, here we find some more information about what John said. He said in verse 29, when here we find John, finally Jesus shows up. John saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was an anointed word, wasn't it? They're like, what are you saying about this man? He's the Lamb of God who does what? Takes away our sin. That's good news. We need to have our sins taken away, because there's a wrath hanging over this world. There is a judgment hanging over this world. Listen, I'm a pastor. I preach every Sunday. I can tell you people don't want to hear about judgment. They don't want to hear about the wrath of God. But it has to be spoken. The whole counsel of God has to be spoken. They have to be warned. John the Baptist, who was a voice crying in the wilderness, who's an example for a midnight crier, messenger, warned the people that they needed to get right with God before it was too late. And the way to get right with God is, behold, the Lamb of God. There's no other way to get right with God. God sent his Son to be lifted up on the cross. By beholding him, our sins are taken away. Like the serpent that was on the pole. We're familiar with that story. Whoever beheld that serpent on the pole, believing that their poisonous snake bite would be healed, the moment you believed, it was done. The moment you believe that Jesus Christ on the cross has borne my sin away, the moment you believe that, those sins are taken away. Can I get an amen for that? Thank you, Jesus Christ. He has put us right in his sight. He has made us righteous because of what his Son has done for us. He is the Lord, our righteousness. We have no righteousness except what Jesus Christ has bestowed upon us. And thank God for that righteousness, because it's a perfect righteousness. We all have perfect righteousness. Praise God. Look at what the Father has done for us. So the first thing John does is point to Jesus and say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. But how could he be before him if Jesus was born after him? He must be God. And John does that throughout the gospel, telling us this man who came to earth named Jesus, he was God. I mean, this was God in human flesh. God didn't send anybody else to do this. God himself showed what kind of God he is by himself coming down, taking on a human form. Because he loved you and me so, so, so much. And you shared a beautiful testimony, Ezra, and that's my testimony is in a very real way like that, that God revealed himself to me, that Jesus Christ alone had the power to save my soul. And anyone who needs to be saved, just look upon Jesus, sinless as he, and believe that he took your sin away. And the moment you do, you're saved, you're forgiven. Verse 30, this is, and then he goes on, verse 31, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. See, we're told a little bit more about his baptism. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, and these are quotes, I mean, God the Father spoke to John the Baptist. Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So John tells us two very, very important things about John the Baptist and about what he preached, is that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, two great things happen. You're forgiven of your sins, and you receive the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. That's the new covenant. Two great things. There's a removal and a bestowal. He removes our sins the moment we believe that he took them away on the cross, and then he bestows God the Holy Spirit. As Peter says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of God the Holy Spirit. There it is, these two wonderful gifts of God, forgiveness and God the Holy Spirit. That's our great need. Brother Phil was talking about our need. What is it that you need? And he even said it. He gave us a clue in the middle of all that. He said, it's like an evil father knows how to give good gifts to his children. How much more will God give us the Holy Spirit, right? That's our great need, is God the Holy Spirit. So he heard God's voice. He saw God the Holy Spirit descending and remaining on Christ. In verse 34, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Do you believe John the Baptist? Do you believe his testimony that this man who came is the Christ, the Savior of the world? Amen. Is the baptism of John from God or is it from men? What say ye? We know it's from God, don't we? Let me ask you, the Midnight Cry Ministry, is it from heaven or is it from men? Is the Midnight Cry Ministry crying out in the wilderness, a voice crying out in the wilderness like this voice cried out before the first coming? Is this voice crying out even now? of God or is it of men? And I have to tell you, and you know the answer to that. You can't say, I don't know, like they told Jesus, well, yeah, I don't know. You know. It is of God. God's anointing was on Brother Thomas. God's anointing was on the assemblies back in those days. There were signs and wonders. There was visitation. There was anointing on the preaching of the Word of God. They would just sit spellbound for hours as they heard truth after truth and revelations. God confirming the truth of what? That just as John foretold the first coming of Jesus Christ, this anointing was proclaiming he's coming back again. Do you believe that? But wait a minute. That visitation was in the late 60s. Here we are in the 2020s. Could it have been mistaken? Was it of God or was it of men? But it's been 50, 60 years. Let's just do ministry. You know, like, let's look at what Paul said here in Romans 13. Thank you, Lord. Talking about love here. He starts in Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, they are all summed up in this saying. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. He's talking about love, isn't he? You all need to be loving. Now notice the next verse. And do this, verse 11. Do what? Love one another. Love your neighbor. Take care. Be busy. Just every day we need to live our lives doing whatever the Spirit leads us to do for other people. It could be praying for others. That's a great work, you know. If you feel you've got a liking for prayer, that's a gift. That's a calling. God in the Spirit is looking for people that will give themselves over to prayer. No greater thing you could ever do, you young people, than to learn about prayer, how it is, how it works, and then give yourself over to it. You will be at the highest levels of the Christian church because God will use you over and over and over again to rain down blessing on God's people. And no one will ever really know about it. No one knows about the intercessors and the prayer warriors, the real ones that are giving themselves over and praying fervently for God's blessing on God's people. They don't talk about that. But they're out there. They're praying. I know some. And in my book, they're the highest saints in the church, those who have learned how to reach God by faith, know how to go boldly into the throne of God and know God as their father and talk to him as their child. And bring blessings down on God's people. So we got to love. But notice what he says in verse 11. Knowing the time. So he's saying, look, we got to take care of people. We got to love. But we also got to remember what time it is. It's been a long time since Brother Thomas. And that message that was so anointed. And Brother Phil's done wonderfully trying to keep that message before God's people. And out in the media, trying to be a voice in the wilderness. He's coming. He's coming. Paul wrote this, knowing the time that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. I'm feeling that. I don't know. Are you? Is there any saints feeling that it's high time to awake out of sleep? For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Do you believe that? I do. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But here's what you flee to. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. That's how you overcome the carnal nature. You put on Jesus. You just say, Jesus, I'm weak. But if I ask you to come into my life, His strength comes inside. He gives us victory over our fallen human nature. So that's got to be like every day. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Knowing the time that now it's high time to awaken out of sleep. Our salvation is near. The night is far spent. The day's at hand. Now listen, when John the Baptist was preaching And Jesus came, you know, time went on, like that was around A.D. 30. And it got into A.D. 40 and A.D. 50. Well, where is this judgment? Where is this wrath that John talked about, and even Jesus talked about, even the apostles talked about? They're telling us that the judgment is going to come upon this nation. Where is it? And they began to scoff. They began to ridicule the apostles. Where is it? The Apostle Paul is saying, look, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Knowing the time, the sons of Issachar, they understood the times and what Israel ought to do. And what I want to say here is I want to encourage you, wise virgins, you who believe that this ministry is of God and not of men, that you be encouraged that the coming of the Lord is near. Soon he will come. What does that say? Let's look at that, and I'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 10. Like my people, they, you know, I tell them Jesus is coming, but you can't preach that every Sunday. You know, well, there's other things you got to talk about. You got to talk about how to overcome. You have to talk about how to meet the enemy. There's so many other things, family, marriage, living life, how to live by faith, so many other subjects and topics in the Christian life. But I keep coming back to this. And I'm starting to see a big difference in their believing, especially since COVID, especially since what happened in 2020. I'm finding and sensing that they're interested. What's going on out there? It's getting crazy out there. It's getting insane. The darkness is really dark and gross darkness to peoples. We all see it, don't we? It's happening in this nation. Because God gave Brother Thomas that revelation. Satan has been loosed. And he's running around in this country, and he's out to destroy this country. What kind of people ought we to be? And here's you know, the book of Hebrews, which I think is a great study for those in the Midnight Cry ministry. Why? Because it was written around A.D. 64, 65, right before the destruction of Jerusalem that John preached, right before the wrath of God came down. And this book was encouraging a wearied people. We've been saying Christ is coming all these years. He hasn't come. And they started falling away. They started slipping back into the temple worship. They started hanging around again with the Jewish priests and rabbis. And so God brought forth this word at a late hour to tell them, don't be weary. Don't give up. Don't fall away. Don't go astray. And we read this, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence that this ministry is of God, not of men. Which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, what does it say? And he who is coming will come, will not tarry. There it is. Don't cast away your confidence in this ministry or in this message. We can all get wearied. We can all say, Lord, how long? How much longer, O Lord our God? How long, O Lord? Lord, how much more can you put up with? He who is coming will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, and if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I just, you know, when I come down here to the Midnight Cry, I like to come down here because I feel like your family. I think I felt that more this time than I've ever felt it, that you're my family. Even though we live in New Jersey and I might see you once a year, you're still my people, you know. Some relatives we don't see, right, except once a year. But you all have made us feel welcomed in this ministry here, and I believe that this ministry is of God. That's why I've come down here. And thank you for your love. We love you all. Amen.
Praise the Lord. This has been great. I think that was confirmation for me to get up. I've had this scripture on my heart all day, and Phil actually referred to it last night. It's in 1 John 5:14. And It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will. And all day I've been thinking, and I think Brother Ezra, when he shared his testimony, it's the Lord's will for his people to be set free and delivered. If you've got strongholds in your life like he said he had, don't wait until you're in a morgue. don't wait that long. Ask the Lord. I'm serious. Ask him tonight. The hour is late, like Brother Bob was saying. It's the time to seek him is now. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Praise the Lord. Something I was thinking about today, we got a couple more nights, but just I'll challenge you all, if you've got something in your life and you feel like you're in chains, I've been there, and the Lord, he set me free. I praise him for it every day. But if Jesus Christ, his spirit, he's here with us, and he has the keys to your chains. Yes. He can unlock those chains and you can be set free. Amen. Seek him. Amen. It's worth everything to be born again. Amen. You cry out to the Lord. Yes, sir. Amen.
I just have a real simple thought. I've shared it before, but I think it goes along with this. If you go to the best restaurant in the world, you sit down at the table and don't order anything, just sit there, they won't bring you anything. That's here. You come to these meetings, and I've done it before when I was growing up, young people and old people. If you sit through these meetings and don't say, God, I need some help. I need you. Yes. We need him. I need him every day. Yes. But if you sit here and you don't ask him for anything, he won't give you anything. That's every one of those scriptures. Ask and you'll receive. Yes. Seek me and you'll find me. Yes. Knock. And yes. What's the opposite of all those? Don't ask. Right. You get nothing. Don't knock. We need to ask him and seek him. Yes. So let's do that.
Praise God. I appreciate the Lord's Spirit reaching out here tonight. I'm going to read a couple scriptures here. Hopefully this doesn't muddy the water, but you know what the Lord's talking about here is eternal life and eternal death. Forever. Forever with God or forever without God. That's what's on the line here. For the youngest person in this building to the oldest person in this building, he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Let me ask you this. Is that going to be a great and glorious day to you? Or is it going to be a dreadful day? And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord spoke that. The Lord spoke that. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And that's Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He is the only way. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Are you afraid to die? If you're afraid to die, you need to call out to God. Because I tell you this right here. If you're afraid, that is fear. But God uses that many times to turn us to him, to the Father of life. And I'm talking about capital L-I-F-E, real life, eternal life. I'm going to read this. God is love. We heard that last night. He says, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Have we not been talking about that? Praise God. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment? Do you have confidence this evening to stand before God Almighty? It's a good question to ask yourself, for me to ask myself. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I tell you what, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God. And he has given us a command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. But I thought about that tonight. Perfect love, which is God Almighty living in your heart, casts out all fear. Because by his Spirit, it is a seal. It is a promise that we will be with him forever. We pass from death into life. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That's what's on the line here, folks. Eternal life or eternal death. Let's be in prayer for one another. I know the Lord's reaching out. I don't know who it is to, but praise God, he is reaching out. Let's pray for one another.